Hello, Husker fans, and welcome to episode 263 of the Husker Football Fan Podcast. I'm Mike Harvat.
And I'm Justin Swanson.
In today's episode, we discuss
the... still doing it.
Yeah. Well, okay, go ahead. Fine. In today's episode, we discuss the Oklahoma beatdown and the firing of Coach Chenander.
You can find us on the web at huskerpod.com or by searching Husker Football Fan Podcast on Facebook. You can also connect with us on Twitter by following us at HuskerPod or email us at huskerpod@gmail.com. The episode is brought to you by Central Nebraska Buffalo. Check out their website for their latest deals at cnbuffalo.com.
Also brought to you by Monty Rohde with Pinnacle Realty in Lincoln. Looking to buy or sell a home in Lincoln or know somebody who is, reach out to Monty at 402-770-3356. And I want to let everybody know I'm 100% sober.
100%. Go Big Red! Hawkins, you wouldn't let Long John adrift?
Oh, boy. So, I will say this. The Charlton Heston, Christian Bale, Treasure Island movie is actually very good. I highly recommend it. Happy Talk Like a Pirate Day, everybody. Once you listen to this, it will be too late. Yesterday, Monday. Is the time that we're recording this. Today it is Talk Like a Pirate Day. It is also the release date of Return to Monkey Island, a game that some have been waiting for 30 years. So,
Christopher Lee was blind pute that 1990 trip. Man, okay. I want to watch this.
It's pretty good. I think it's better than... It's better than... well, people don't talk about that movie, but... It was like one that we taped off of, like, it was like a TNT made for TV movie when I was a kid, and me and my brother watched it all the time. We taped it off of television.
I have no memory of this. Our family is very committed to Muppet Treasure Island. It's an excellent movie.
Sure. Tim Curry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The Muppets.
Well, of course.
And that's all you need to know.
Right. Well.
Anyway.
Anything interesting happen in the world of Husker football this weekend?
You know, in retrospect, not really. I mean, we all had hope for the game. And afterwards, I appreciated Mickey Joseph saying it's all on me. But I feel like it was obviously Scott Frost's team out there. You know, it's the team that he recruited. It's the scheme that he hired for. That was Scott Frost's loss. And Mickey Joseph is just being a leader. You know, he's just... There's almost no value in that game in retrospect. There was no, especially once it became clear, oh yeah, they're a lot better than we are. And you know, there's always hope and whatnot, especially after how close it was last year. But that was a lot better team.
Yep.
And so it was just kind of like you just take your medicine, and you thank Coach Venables for not running up the score. I'll always be grateful to him for doing that. I kind of was putting out like, worst loss in school history warnings out, and then it became clear that he was not, though he could have easily done it, he was not going to. And then it was just, you know, let's get out of this, hope nobody's hurt, and got a bye week, we got conference up ahead, and this game doesn't matter. It's behind us. So, and then, you know, the whole team knows that, of course, it's not Mickey Joseph's fault, that, but I think that was a good way for him to win the locker room. And then, yeah, I personally was a little surprised by Chenander being fired. It just didn't occur to me as a possibility, especially after Mickey said he wasn't planning on firing anybody after the game. And he said he'd look at the tape. I guess he looked at the tape and was like, whoa, I'm firing somebody.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think if there were ever a case to be made for firing Chenander, it'd be these last two games, right?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
It's so odd how he had been, at least the way we perceived it as fans, is he has been the mainstay from the very beginning for Scott Frost's Husker team. I just feel like, man, I think you brought this up last week. Man, was he just kind of like riding on the quality of players he had, because he had all these like fifth and sixth year players last year that weren't there to mask what was kind of rotting underneath the surface.
Yeah.
I don't know. I, and I, ooh, man, just there's so much that's come out in the last week that we're not going to talk about on this podcast, but I do want to just wonder out loud.
Okay.
Did Scott Frost consider himself a sitting duck going into this season? I
like
really
dead, like a lame duck?
Yeah, lame duck. Sorry, that's better. That's right. Like, whoa, lame duck. Sitting duck is like you're about to get shot or something, right? I don't know.
Like you're just like out lame there duck. A target, yeah.
I wonder if he knew the writing was on the wall and he was just gonna try to ride out as long as he could and see how much money he could make. I hate to be super cynical about it, but...
That is the cynical approach. I don't know. I like to think he went out and hired a lot of new people for some great spots or, you know, some great fits, and he made a lot of changes with the roster and really key spots, and I thought it was going to work. I mean, I don't know if I thought... I didn't necessarily... Well, we predicted great records, so we thought... I thought it was going to work better than this. Mm-hmm. But also I think one personal maxim I've developed while we've been doing this podcast is like, if you're counting on transfers to all transfers or true freshmen to make a huge impact, if you get like a 50% hit rate, you're great.
Mm-hmm.
And, I feel like the ultimate indictment here is just that he didn't develop guys.
Yep.
And maybe it's a combination of he didn't develop guys and then maybe he had some recruiting cycles where he failed.
Yeah.
Maybe a combination of those two. So that when those six-year guys left, there was nobody. I mean, before the season, when we heard Carlin Feist was going to be a starter on defensive line, my first thought was, who?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, anytime you have a multi-year senior or, you know, later in his tenure student, junior, senior, who's going to all of a sudden be starting, you've never heard of him, especially in a program that hasn't been a developmental program like this one, you got to wonder, why is he starting? Like,
yeah.
That means, yeah, that's probably a bad sign. Like, the talent has left the building. And so I don't mean to just, like, bag on him, but I'm saying, man, right?
Yeah, yeah, no. I hear you. So I don't know. Maybe you're just getting random thoughts from Mike tonight, but something else I've been just kind of pondering the last couple of days is like, how smart was Adrian Martinez to get out of Dodge?
Yeah, I mean,
oh man, I don't know
if he had a choice.
Yeah, because probably Frost would have tried to move on, but
I think he had to go.
Mm-hmm.
And did they lose? Yeah, they lost to Tulane 17.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
See, I wasn't even paying attention to...
17 to 10. Neither did I. I just pulled it up.
Yeah.
Adrian was 21 of 31 with 150 pass yards.
Hmm.
So, but, I mean, he had to go.
Yeah.
If all this stuff happened this year, but the only difference was that Adrian was quarterback, mm-hmm. people would probably blame him over Scott.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because people have just been so loyal to Scott. We have. And so he had to leave so that when this all happened... we could recognize Scott.
Right.
Adrian had 59 rush yards and 11-yard touchdown and a QBR quarterback rating of 41.3, according to...
So, I know there was some discussion last week of how the crowd was behaving in Memorial Stadium. What was it like, especially, I'm curious, what was the second half like in the stadium on Saturday? Like, how long did you stay? Did you make it to the end, or?
We stayed to the end. I really don't like to leave early. And so I'm pretty committed to that. And
I respect you for that.
Thank you. And it was hot. every time someone scored, or they scored, not us, it just sent more and more people to the aisles. They were steadily streaming out. It felt like the whole second half until felt like we were in danger of having fewer Nebraska fans and Oklahoma fans in the stands.
Wow.
I don't think it ever came to that. I think everybody was just kind of resigned. And I feel like for me personally, this last week, I have felt a renewed interest in Nebraska football because change.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's something different in a new way. And so I think people were tuned in when all the backups came in for Oklahoma in the third quarter. That was a nice sign. I think that kept people's interest. When Chuba Purdy came in, that was intriguing. Mm-hmm. When he scored, I feel like people were excited. So, I don't know. It was electric before the game. It was electric when we got a stop on their first drive and then scored right away. But in some ways, it was like the Ohio State game a few years ago when we had game day. But it wasn't quite the whipping because they called off the dogs this week. So, to answer your question about what it was like in the stadium, honestly, the highlight of the game for me was at halftime. They did a tribute to the 1971 Game of the Century.
Mm.
And part of it was they reenacted the Johnny Rogers kick return. As Mandy and I were watching it, we were like, hey, is that our friend from church running the ball back? And it was.
Oh, huh.
The football player or the band guy who was being Johnny Rogers was a friend of ours.
Interesting.
So that was fun.
Yeah. They do Stranger Things again.
Again? No.
Yeah, I guess they do a different show every week, don't they?
They do. They're professionals. Or they're amateurs, I guess. Right. But
some of them might be being paid to do it. I don't know.
Name, image, and likeness for band, I suppose.
If you get a scholarship for playing an instrument, are you considered a professional musician?
Huh. Probably not. Seems unlikely.
What if you get a name, image, and likeness deal as a band student? Can you do that?
Man, you're really asking hard questions tonight, Mike. I don't know why you couldn't.
I mean,
That's a great question.
I guess name, image, and likeness only applies to athletes.
If you're a part of the Daily Nebraskan, have we got a story for you? Hey, it could happen.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, at this point of the season, as a fan, how do you perceive? We got how many games to go? Nine?
Eight.
No, eight. Eight games to go.
Conferences plus Northwestern.
Yikes.
Yeah, it's funny because I feel like it's over.
Yeah. No, I absolutely do. And so it's like, what is, thank goodness we have a bye to just like flush the last month out of our system.
Last 5 years.
Right. But I mean, like, we're looking at Indiana, Rutgers, Purdue, Illinois, Minnesota, Michigan, Wisconsin, Iowa. I don't see us winning any of those games except for maybe Indiana, Rutgers, maybe. I mean, at this point, I'm saying no way to Purdue. This is rough, man.
and these student athletes, they pour their heart and soul into this for 8 months. And to feel like, for them, it's not over. So I guess that's why we have to keep paying attention. Keep going to the games and see if we can keep the streak going. And if you like Mickey and you want him to be a head coach, he's auditioning right now. So that's maybe the one big unknown is what's Mickey going to do with this opportunity that he has.
Yep.
And Billy Bush, he's got an opportunity too. He's a defensive coordinator now, which apparently he has been somewhere else for a short stint. So I guess that's why you tune in.
Yeah, man, I am looking at, I'm just browsing through ESPN's matchup predictors. And as it stands right now, Nebraska is only expected to win the Indiana game. Here's the thing. Today, I found out I won tickets to a Nebraska game.
Hey, cool.
I randomly entered into a raffle this past week. I was at a pastor's conference and so I signed up for these tickets, and just today I got an email saying, hey, you won. And I had my choice of several games. I chose the Minnesota game on November 5th. And the main reason for that is I asked my brother when he could go, because he's brought me to so many games over the years.
Oh, nice.
So I wanted to return the favor. And, he and I were talking about it, texting back and forth today. We're just like, who knows what state this team will be in. Come November, right? but there's still something, like, even with everything falling around, everything going up in flames around us, proverbially, you know, I'm speaking in metaphorical terms here.
They're not real flames in your house, right?
No, there are not. But, I mean, just even in the midst of all of this turmoil that defines the 2022 season for the Nebraska Cornhuskers, there's still something awesome about being in Memorial Stadium on game day.
Sure.
And yeah, so we're going to go and we're going to enjoy it. We're going to have fun. We're going to enjoy the fact that we'll probably have leg room sometime in the third quarter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's one plus of people being flakes, is you get a little bit more comfortable seating arrangement by the time the game's over.
No, but, and to my comments earlier, I am genuinely curious to see what Mickey Joseph does here.
Sure.
He seems like a great guy. He loves Nebraska. I'd love for him to be successful here, so I'm all about that.
I'll say this much. His press conference following that loss, I think, was more impressive and showed more leadership than we've seen from Scott Frost in a few seasons now.
Definitely.
Kind of owning his junk, not blaming it on the same old, you know, just kind of saying, hey, you know what? I take responsibility for this.
And I feel like we've been talking about that this season, like just acknowledging that Scott never figured that part of the job out.
Yep.
He never did. And in fact, I was texting you because I was walking across campus a few hours before the game and walked through that big noon kickoff. And as I was walking up to it, they were playing the Come Together Right Now Over Me.
Right.
That they played, was it his first game? Was it the Akron game or was it the spring game? Tunnel Walk song. I just remember you pointed it out because it was the... From the Justice League, yeah. And I just remember thinking at the time, like, what a perfect song. Come Together Right Now. Like, that is a great mantra for this state and this team. People were so frustrated after the Riley years. But to Saturday, when I heard it, I'm walking across and I hear, Come Together Right Now Over Me. And I was like, oh, Over Me. What a narcissist. Holy smokes. You know, as we've heard all kinds of negative stuff about Scott this week and how committed he was or wasn't to the job. And it's kind of been interesting to see crap come out.
Yeah.
And it's all been like secondhand. I feel like a lot of people are like, if journalists heard all these things all season, why didn't they report that? And I feel like someone needs to point out, like, journalists for a news agency or, you know, the Journal Star, the World Herald, certainly a traditional old media, but also 247, Rivals, whoever, Huskers Online, they have sourcing standards. Like, you have to have someone on the record or at least be willing to go off the record. And you have to have a couple different sources for stuff like that. So you can hear rumors, but that doesn't mean you're going to print it.
Yeah.
That would not be responsible. And also, for as much grief as people got over, like, why aren't people talking about these things? Do you know how filleted a journalist would have been had they dared say something like that? There are people on social media still, like, they feel like it's their job to defend every single thing the university does. Also, now while I'm thinking of this, I thought of something else to say. There are people on social media that they really want you to think they're an insider because they read every single article and they subscribe to a secret message board that you don't know about, but journalists do. Like, don't listen to the insiders.
I'm on the paid Husker Max forums.
There are so many opinions and thoughts about who's going to be the next coach. And I understand that it's cool to think about and talk about, but you don't know and you don't have a voice in it. So why do you care? Like,
My uncle works in catering for the university, and he texted me a picture of Urban Meyer's shoes from around the corner in Trev Albert's office.
It's just ridiculous.
And the shoes looked at me.
I feel like it speaks to the obsession that Nebraska fans have, and maybe this last couple years has cured me in some way of my own deep Husker obsession. If you don't have a voice in it, just let it go. I understand people get a lot of joy and fun and diversion out of speculating, but it's not healthy. I mean, none of y'all guessed Mike Riley's going to get hired.
Right.
All those insiders and the insider message boards, they didn't know that. You don't know what Trev's going to do. Maybe there's some obvious stuff. I feel like you're just cueing yourself to be angry. So maybe this is like Justin Husker fan 2.0 that's emerged in the last couple of years. Who cares?
You're like a phoenix rising from the ashes of the ashes of the ashes.
There's a lot of ash.
Yep. I'm on board. I'm on board with the people who say, get rid of Lil Red and honor Solich, and then everything will be made right again. Yeah. Those are the two things. It's like the people who are like, maybe I shouldn't make this comparison, but you know, people have like a checklist of things that need to happen in order for Christ to return, and they're like, we got to keep working on that checklist.
That is an over-the-top analogy.
Yep.
Right there.
You can send your hate mail to huskerpod@gmail.com, but that wouldn't be very Christian of you, so...
Oh, man. Nobody's going to listen to our podcast.
I'm keeping myself sane. Okay, folks. Disclaimer, I am a Christian. I'm devout. I love my Lord. I follow him. I do think that we Christians can do some silly things sometimes, and I think keeping a checklist is one of those things. So it's almost like, you know, somebody wise said the day and the hour is unknown. So
you have to. Somebody wise.
You should go Google and see who it was that said that. I'll just leave it at that.
You've been very pastoral the last couple weeks. I feel like as we're all lamenting, it's really an opportunity for you.
Well, I mean, I think that you're getting a little bit more unfiltered Mike.
And Justin.
With us not having a, let's not edit as much. Let's just go record and see what happens. So
it's just one long shot from the hip.
Yep.
Hey, before we move on, let's finish with a little SP Plus. It's grim. Overall, we dropped 17 spots to 68, so... We're in the middle. Not great. Not awful. Defense, I don't know what's going on here. The offense, I don't know what's going on here, actually went up 6 spots to number 44. But the defense went down 29 spots to number 82.
Maybe it's because our offense managed to move the ball a little bit against a really good team.
That could be. I feel like 44 and 82 was where I thought we should have been last week when we were 50 and 53.
Sure.
And then special teams actually improved 10 spots from 130 to 120 spots. So we didn't miss a field goal? Or did we?
I don't think so. Jeez.
Yeah, the punt game was decent. We might have had some return yards. Anyway, maybe we'll get out of the gutter yet. Maybe we'll be 1-11, but we'll be 99 in special teams.
Well, Justin, you used the word grim. Which grim.exe, I believe, was the file name to launch the game Grim Fandango back in the day, which was made by LucasArts. And we did talk about this.
Long transition. Keep going.
We did talk about this at the start of the episode. Have you had a chance to play Return to Monkey Island yet?
I'm not going to get to it for a while.
Okay.
I'm playing through the original with my kids.
Mm-hmm.
And we're having a fun time, and we're doing it like once a week for an hour or two.
Sure, okay.
So I fully intend to play through 1 and 2 before I play this new one.
Oh, okay, wow.
Yeah, the question for me
is... I'll talk to you in January then.
Yeah, is do I play the original 3, or do I play this new 3, 3A? For the original number 3 was the first one I played, and was what really launched it for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of feel loyalty to that one, but at the same time, it's going to take forever. We're going to be talking about it's going to be next fall.
Right. As somebody who's, I mean, I've only played 2 hours worth of the new game today. So far, in my 2 hours of gameplay, you do not need to play the third game.
Murray the Talking Skull.
It feels like it is a direct continuation from the first two so far.
Do you feel like if you... play 1, 2 and then 3A and then go back to 3, the original 3, that you'll be like, what is this?
I could see it being a little bit confusing for younger kids. So I'll let you know. I'll keep you posted.
We've been playing 1, like I told mm-hmm. you, and we were on the ship trying to get to Monkey Island.
Oh yeah.
And we had arrived at Monkey Island and I couldn't remember what we were supposed to do next. And we were having dinner and Ernest, my son, was like, maybe we need to launch ourselves out of the cannon. And I was like, I think that's right. I think that's it.
That's like, great.
It had been a week since we played it, and we were just talking about what we thought we might need to do next. But then I think one flaw in that original game, to not to spoil too much, is you have to like light one thing on fire.
Mm-hmm.
And there's about 7 or 8 things in your
inventory. That's inventory flammable.
That are flammable. And right. So I was stuck because I'd gone systematically through a bunch, but I hadn't gotten to the one.
Mm.
And so I kind of like checked that one off as an option.
Got it.
But
got
that's it. Why it would be your first game.
Yep. I like that you accidentally said movie, because that's the way I've always felt about those games.
Well, it's kind of the way I talk about it with the kids. It's like mm-hmm. a movie that you play.
Yep, exactly. Okay, we've been talking long enough.
Yeah, let's call it.
Hey, everybody. We love you. Thank you for sticking with us.
Go Big Red?
Go Big Red. The Husker Football Fan Podcast is an unofficial, non-commercial podcast and is intended for educational and entertainment purposes only. The views expressed on this podcast belong solely to the individuals expressing them. The Husker Football Fan Podcast is not endorsed by or affiliated with the Nebraska Cornhuskers or the University of Nebraska.